Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 685. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, or sponsorships, please email me at rabbiyismach@take10fortorah.org. I came across this class, this 10, from a few years back, which is more poignant than ever, particularly with the difficulty that some have in coming to shul these days, the appreciation we should have for the Mikdash Ma'at, our shuls, in every community. I hope you enjoy. So in this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayetze, we have Yaakov coming to a place. He goes to sleep at night and he has an incredible dream, a dream which he believes is a prophecy, the dream of the ladder. And so we know when he wakes up in the morning, he's incredibly impressed, and he says, Manora hamakom hazeh, how incredible is this place? And I had no idea. Vanila yodati, I did not know. Where was he? So Rashi has a long discussion about exactly where he was, but it comes down to he was in Yerushalayim, in the makom hamikdash, in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's where he was, that's where he was located, and he had this incredible moment of prophecy. Okay, so I figured let's talk about that place, that location on the planet, that one space that exists that is holier, it seems, than any others, and what it means for us nowadays. So the Pasuk tells us that there's a command specifically to honor, or I should say even more specifically, fear the place of the Mikdash. It says, "Umikdash shai tiro'u ani Hashem." It's pasuk in Vayikra Yud Tes Lamed. You should fear the Mikdash ani Hashem. Okay, so the context of the pasuk we know, it says, "As Shabbosai tishmoru umikdash shai tiro'u." First, observe the Shabbos, and then the Mikdash. And we know the Shabbos being listed first is even more important, which means even in the construction of the Mikdash, that would have to stop for Shabbos. And as we've talked about over the course of years, the actual prohibitions of what you can't do on Shabbos comes from what you would do to build the Mishkan or the Mikdash, these sanctuaries, these holy places. So the Sefer Echinuch explains that the prohibition of fearing these places, of having a sense of awe in these places, outlast the place. Even though there is no more Mikdash, even though it's just a place, and there is no more building, and the functions of the building are no longer performed there, a person is still obligated to have a sense of intimidation and fear and awe and be inspired there. And you're only allowed to enter where you'd otherwise be allowed to enter, which is why there are certain restrictions, even nowadays, about where you're allowed to go when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. What is this all about? What does this point to? So it's really fascinating. Rav Hirsch has a beautiful essay in his commentary in Vayikra. He talks about how, first of all, you know, when we talk about honoring a building, and there's a comparison in this verse to Shabbos, so everybody knows the classic understanding of what we learn from there, the fact that, say, the Mikdash does not outweigh Shabbos, but he says there's more to it than that. He says, first, we must not turn reverence of the sanctuary into fetishistic worship of the wood and stone. The same way, we're not worried about Shabbos, the day of the week. We're worried about, or I shouldn't say worried, but we are concerned about, and we're focused on, who commanded this notion of Shabbos. We don't think of this as the building. We think of the mechayev, the one who obligates us to be thinking about the building, the one who, because of them, God, that's the reason that this building or that this location on the planet is significant. He says, just as keeping our Shabbos holy is not directed to the day itself, but to God, so too, in honoring the sanctuary, our thoughts are not to be directed to it, but to God who orders us to keep the sanctuary holy. Then he continues. He says, second, the connection to Shabbos and the Mikdash is as follows. Just as Shabbos, by its very nature, is eternal and is not bound to any particular age or conditions, so too also the site of the Mikdash has not, even in its destruction, become less deserving of mora, of this fear, of this intimidation, of this sense of giving it importance. For the place that God has chosen as a dwelling for his name remains forever sacred unto that purpose. Even today, we are not allowed to build an altar to God anywhere else. This place, then, still constitutes an invisible bond between all those who observe Torah and mitzvos, for it connects and unites all who keep the Torah, for whose sanctuary site this place is dedicated. Our precious memories of the past turn us towards there, and to this place are linked also our prayers and hopes for the future. The hopes for this future of mankind also are linked to this place, for it is from there that salvation will come to the world through the power of the Torah. He quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu to say, the desolate site of our sanctuary remains a throne of glory for the Shechina. Now just think about what he said. The desolate site of our sanctuary still is a throne of glory. How so? He says, a throne even more exalted than before. For the actual sanctuary united the nation only within the narrow borders of Judea. But the abstract idea, and this is the most important line, but the abstract idea illuminates the hearts of Judea's scattered sons. It unites them over the ruins of the sanctuary through the power of the eternal meaning of this place. It is the invisible bond between Israel's sons who are scattered all over the earth. It unites them in a common mission in the present and in common hope for the future. Beautiful idea where he seems to be spinning the Mikdash and the fear for the Mikdash. It's not just, you know, an also halacha that, yeah, by the way, it's very holy and very important while, of course, the Mikdash stands there. But, yeah, you would think it's much less important when the Mikdash is no longer there, when the actual Beis HaMikdash, the temple, is no longer there. But he says, no, the reverse is true. It actually has an incredibly powerful meaning, perhaps even more powerful of a meaning when it's an abstract idea and when, no, we're not localized within Israel and we're not all right there where this is just a location that we attend. It's now a location that we focus our minds on. It's a location that we focus our thoughts for the future on. And so maybe in this abstract idea, when it's destroyed, it's even more powerful. Now, of course, the Mikdash, even though it no longer exists, it exists in the form of the Mikdash Ma'at. Mikdash Ma'at is this idea that there's small pieces of the Mikdash, of this sanctuary, of this holiness, which are scattered. The Gemara in Megillah says, "V'hei lahem le'mikdash ma'at." The pasuk in Yecheskel, it says, what's that referring to? The Mikdash Ma'at, there will be a Mikdash Ma'at, referring to what you'll have in Golus, in exile. Eilu batei kinesios ubatei medrashos shebebavel. Those are the shuls and the places of learning in Bavel. And by Bavel, we mean any place in exile. And so, just of course, you imagine that the struggle that people who are being exiled for the very first time, who believe that this place, this Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, is very significant, the struggle of having to go away from that, to be distant from it, and yet to be told, don't worry, it can be remanufactured, at least in a microcosmic type of way, elsewhere. And so the reason, this beautiful reason I saw in the name of the Agudas Eliyahu, he says, how does this work? Like, how does this function? He quotes a pasuk in Eicha that all of the stones of the Mikdash were spread all over the world. And he says, these stones, Pizer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avanav B'chol HaOlam. It's as if there was a meteor shower. You know, the Beis HaMikdash exploded and all of the stones fell somewhere. He says, V'chol Makom Sheba'olam Shenafal Sham Evan. Wherever one of those stones fell, Nivne Beis HaKnesses, a shul would eventually be built. What we refer to as the Mikdash Man, our shuls, our little local places of sanctuary, that is one of those locations where a stone had fallen. Beautiful idea that we can wrap our heads around. The Sefer Yireim talks about that this is actually within the Pasuk. It says, Umikdashai. He focuses on, like what Rav Hirsch had mentioned, the idea that it's not about the building, it's about the one who commanded that this building be significant, about God. And wherever I create that, it's included in Mikdashai Tiro. And so there's an incredible importance to being in shul, being in this place. I want to close with this other idea that's in the Gemara Megillah that says, "Asidim batei kinesios ubatei medrashos shebebavel sheyikvu be'eretz Yisrael." In the future, all shuls will eventually be established in Eretz Yisrael. It's as if like those locations will move, those shuls, those buildings will move to Israel. So the Gemara Megillah brings a source for this. The Maharsha explains. He says it comes from the psukim in the beginning of Tehillim Kuf Chaf Beis, very famous psalm about Shir Hamalos LeDavid. Samachti ba'omrim li beveis Hashem Nelech. I was rejoicing. I rejoiced when they told me we're going to the house of Hashem. Omdos ha'yiraglinu b'sharayach Yerushalayim. Our feet stood inside your gates, O Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim habnuya, Jerusalem built up ki ir shechubra loh yachtav. Jerusalem built up, a city knit together. He says, what does that mean? He says, here's what it means. La'asad yeh beis ha'migdash gadol ki Yerushalayim sheba'olam hazeh. The Beis HaMikdash will be as big as the modern-day Jerusalem is. That's how big the Beis HaMikdash will be someday. Yerushalayim and Jerusalem itself, yeh gadol k'chol eretz Yisrael. It'll be as big as the entirety of the land of Israel. V'al zeh amar matam yeh Beis HaMikdash la'asad kol kach gadol. Why will that be? Why will it be that the Beis HaMikdash will be so much larger in Jerusalem? The city, the confines of the city will be so much bigger. He says, l'fi sheba Yerushalayim habnuya la'asad yeh chubra la'l mikdash yachtav. That will be knitted together. Knitted together within that Jerusalem, within that Mikdash, will be Kol Mekama Shabbat Kinesias Shehayu Ba'olam Hazeh, all shuls that exist nowadays. They will be combined together. Space, and when it comes to the volume of the people, Nimtza Ata Begala Shani Omeid Beveis HaKnesses Haryu Makam HaMikdash Gufei Deva Asad. Right now, when we stand in shul, we should think that we are standing in the future Beis HaMikdash, which will ultimately assemble and become the Beis HaMikdash that we daven for, that we pray for, that hopefully someday soon we will pray in. And that should focus us on the gravity and the importance of these places and of these buildings, in spite of the fact that they're not the Mikdash, they are the Mikdash Ma'at. Have a great day.